Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the manufacturer's recruiter. Hello and welcome to another edition of Insights for Manufacturing. Now, my guest today is somebody that you will be very well aware of if you're a follower on LinkedIn and you follow UK manufacturing. It's Adam Payne, who is the Managing Director at New Way Growth. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. It was good to meet up with you at Advanced Engineering last week or the week before. Really, really busy show. I know you're frantically busy with the other businesses that you've got as well. I know you've got the TCM UK and the Factory IQ business. Yeah. So, but I've invited you on today, and thanks for coming. Really want to dig into some of the challenges for SME manufacturers. So let's get straight into it. You know, what are you finding from your sort of customers and prospects? What are you finding to be the main sort of growth challenges that SME manufacturers are facing at the moment?
Well, it is an interesting one. It's a big question as well on that. Biggest one, I think, is or seems to be the emotive one, is the skills side. You know, and the resource side, which you all know from obviously your background. And what you do. Financial one is another one. The financial resources are accessing finance for scaling up or capital expenditure. And then the other side is mixture, really, which is where New Way Growth comes in, is the strategic growth elements and where to focus and what to be doing around marketing, strategic marketing, the growth and operational side as well. And it tends to be, it's very, very odd for us at the minute. This is either you've got one extreme, which is really, really struggling.
Yeah.
Or another extreme is that they are, you know, really going great guns. And nothing in between. But that, probably is where we sit within our services, although we can help across the full spectrum.
Yeah.
You never seem to get anybody that's in that middle ground, which is always find a bit odd, but it just may be the way that we market or the way we're seen from that perspective.
Yeah. So in terms of sort of growth, I mean, growth, such a, you know, it's like manufacturing, it's quite a broad entity in itself. You know, growth, is that, you know, customer growth? Is it margin growth? Is it sales turnover? Is it new products, you know, new markets, new territories? Are you finding any common themes where, you know, in terms of the areas that business is looking to grow in, and what sort of problems are they finding?
I think, it's so varied. It is so varied. You can see businesses at the minute, and I don't know whether it's just from an uncertainty of what's happening globally with the different geopolitical bloody elements, that there seems to be a lot of uncertainty, and that uncertainty is obviously driving a lot of thinking around, do we go into different market areas, do we go into different sectors, you know, how else can we expand? What else can we be doing to increase our sales side? So there doesn't, for me, it doesn't really feel as though there's one that's above everything else. I think there is, it's just an amalgamation of everything that's happening, is that, you know, if we want to scale one, we can, or you might find that we've got the work there, but then we haven't got the skilled resource to go with that work so we can expand out. And then there's the capital expenditure or matter. So they're all just sort of like cogs that are just working together, and it's a matter of just finding the problem, defining the problem, and getting to that root cause of the particular one, then moving on to the next one.
Is that how you typically work with your customers? I mean, I suppose you've got to get a snapshot of where they are today, where they'd like to get to. So you got the current state, the future state scenario, and then, you know, sort of work back from where they, well, not necessarily where they want to get to, but where they need to get to, because sometimes those two things don't tally up. But do you sort of work back from that sort of point of that's where we need to get to? So what systems and processes and marketing strategies do we need to put in place to get there?
Yeah, it depends on the objective of the business.
Okay.
So If somebody's looking from a growth perspective, then we'll look at doing the research and the business intelligence into where they can go from that growth point of view. If it's sort of like an operational improvement or operational efficiency side, which again both go hand in hand, from a growth and scalability point of view, it brings its own problems and own issues in that from a process point of view. So it really depends, but yeah, we do the evaluation. We do go through quite a detailed evaluation, but we're constantly managing by fact, managing by the data, asking the questions, but working with the client, and we do it in a fashion that we try and extract out their thoughts, as well as sort of the coaching and mentoring side is questioning and challenging their thought processes. And in the early, so my early days, I was exposed to sort of like breaking the paradigms, and that's what we try and do in some of the to question, challenge, and do it hard. But has to we always manage by fact and data, which is a key thing.
Good. And I mean, when it comes to, I mean, marketing is, oh crikey, it's such a complex, and I mean, it's an important, it's intrinsic to any business, isn't it? You can't really have sales without marketing. Some of the sales guys might argue that, but I beg to differ. You've got to have marketing. It's creating that initial awareness, isn't it? So in
Absolutely.
today's world, and particularly with SME manufacturers, things have moved on from bulk faxes going out and just the dreaded spam emails. Telesales is still about, and there is a need for that, but there are so many other channels and strategies that you can use. What are you tending to sort of help your clients roll out in terms of some of the innovation around
Depends,
marketing, Adam?
yeah. Depends on the business. So for me is, and I'll use, you may know Lee Howarth. We've had a number of conversations, and
Yes,
Lee,
Union Jack jacket.
yeah, Lee uses the, and I've taken this on board and just sort of like expanded and gone into a little bit more detail. Lee uses the analogy of a bicycle wheel and the spokes, and the wheel won't work unless the spokes are in good condition, fully working order. And we look at that from a marketing perspective. And the spokes are all the distribution channels that are working. So if you miss one somewhere along the line, you're going to have a gap in your marketing and sales. So you will see something maybe next week, maybe the week after, maybe in a couple of months. So those distribution channels, those key distribution channels for your business are critical. Now, depending on the business, if you and I hate you going back to these sort of like basic fundamentals, but they are critical. For any business, understanding that target market and people really do give this a blasé approach. They don't look at the detail on it. And I'm not talking about demographic, I'm talking about the psychographic stuff here. So we are when we go work with clients, we're looking at things like what you'll have the normal demographics, but then we're going to psychographics. So what are the key purchasing drivers? What are the pains, gains? What are the frustrations, fears? We look at where they hang out, and including in that is what Facebook groups, what LinkedIn groups they could, what articles they read, what books they read, what influencers they follow, everything. So we're going down into quite a granular form. And it's critical, but there are so a lot of businesses miss that foundational element because at the end of the day, there's the three M's. It comes down to that: market, message, and media. So you understand your market to understand the message you're going to put out there, and then understand the platform that you're going to do it on. And it is very, very that simple side. Now, is manufacturing any good at that? Some are, majority of them aren't. That's my opinion. We are, and I'm a manufacturer. We stay within our four walls and we don't go out and we don't communicate and we miss that. But I think we're missing a trick on some of this stuff. There are some things that are really changing, the behaviors are changing. And this is where I think manufacturing can pick up on some of this. So one of the ones, and we're probably all screwing those up, I did, is TikTok. The majority of the younger generation and coming into the older generation search for products and services on TikTok, and not many people know that. So they're actually turning to those sort of like arenas. And the other one is Google, and that's why most people are searching on Google. That is changing. People are using AI more now. So that is a different sort of like side. And we've got to be able to jump on some of these as well. I don't know whether that answers your question, but there's a whole host of different things. If I was talking from a single point of view, if I was talking like a product designer, it's like a four quadrant thing. It's not something that we've created. It's something that's been out there. You know, if you were to draw a square and you've got the four quadrants, one half of the square is cold, is warm. The other side is cold, and then you've got one to one, and then one to many. So the one to one and warm are all your contacts, all your lists, your phone, everything, Twitter contacts, LinkedIn contacts, and filtering them down and be talking to them on a daily basis. The one to many on the warm is your social media and the platforms. And then the cold is you can probably purchase a list, a good targeted list, and communicate with them. And then the other one is paid advertising. So if you were a singular entity, solopreneur, engineer, that's where to start, and then you can scale from there as you get bigger.
And in most cases, would it be fair to say that whether you're a manufacturer or another business, it's usually best to have a multi-pronged approach to your marketing, well, and your sales, I suppose. But you know, I suppose it goes back to the spokes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
If you're not
absolutely.
looking at the whole, if you're not looking at every, I mean, some channels might not work for a certain business, but if you're not trying everything and testing it and measuring what you're doing, and I suppose that's the key as well. As you say, you could be missing not just one trick, but many.
Yeah, I mean I think that's the one thing that I do come across common across any industry, across any sector, is that the feeling that I don't want to post that because I don't think anybody will read it. But how do you know if you haven't tested it? And that's the key thing. So test all the time. So we're constantly running tests. So recently I've done one where on my LinkedIn profile, we've got our normal stuff that goes out in the morning. But then I was doing other stuff of an evening and seeing what engagement level and what reach and what was happening with that. So we're constantly doing tests, testing messaging, testing emails, testing subject line, A/B testing on messaging within LinkedIn. So yes, you've got to be on it. And once you've got something that works, scale the hell out of it, because what works now won't work in probably 2, 3 weeks, months time.
Because a lot of the, I mean,
So you've got
they
to.
seem, most of these platforms seem to change the algorithms every now and again, and don't,
Oh yeah.
they don't broadcast it. I saw something pop up on my LinkedIn on my phone, I don't know, probably a couple of months ago now, that they're doing these videos on LinkedIn, and then there were some games. I thought, I don't want games on LinkedIn. How dare you put that on my, I just don't want it, you know? So we're almost playing catch up sometimes with, you know, we're sort of having this technology forced upon us, and most of it is valuable and we need it. But I think, would it be fair to say a lot of people get wrapped up in this psyche of we've just got to be doing stuff to please the algorithm? I mean, I get that and I get why, but I'm a bit of a stubborn beast at times, and sometimes I just think, look, I'm going to post something. If I think it's good, I'm going to post it. I'm not into the. I've got to post at 8 a.m. every morning, as some people would say you've got to do, and I do that often. But there's other times, you know, where I might post something of an afternoon or sometimes on a weekend, and just think, do you know what? Screw the algorithm. I'm just, you know, I need to get stuff out there, and I haven't got any more headspace to be worrying about it. Is that do you get that sort of thing from some of your customers?
Don't get me wrong, there are optimum times, but the thing is for me is do what you can do as a business. The worst thing is not to do. And I never get, we call them the vanity metrics. You know, if you were looking at an impression rate on something on like LinkedIn, yeah, it's great, and it means that the content meant something. But unless there's been a follow through from that,
The engagement.
you've done nothing. And that's something that I see in the marketing a lot is that next step you are asking the person to do in the post. So you will
Yeah.
know, generally notice, unless I'm doing a thought leadership one, that there was always a link or something.
Yes.
And I am after that, click on that link to go through to the next thing, because in the next thing there'll be in the next call to action to drive, and I monitor that click through rate, or we do as a business, and that's what we look at from a client perspective point of view as well. But there are so many different things. SEO base thing for me, you're just coming up, which just thinking about it now, is we have this piece of software that can analyze the your online, let's say, efficiency, your
It's okay.
online efficiency. And I did a blanket sort of like manufacturers, focused manufacturers, in a postcode near me in a 20-mile radius,
Yeah.
and it picked up all the manufacturers from a Google perspective. So it's got all the names, and then how many have actually got their Google business profile. And let's say out of 100, how many do you think have actually got their Google business profile? They've registered it and got it.
If it was small companies, I would probably say 25% or
Yeah, it was
less.
less than yeah, it was less than that. And
Really?
that
Okay.
is yeah,
Yeah.
and the thing is that is one of the key factors that Google looks for. There is a change which I posted about yesterday. There's a change coming up on the Google Ads side, the local Google Ads side, is that you won't be able to use the local Google Ads sort of like search, paid advertising, unless you've actually got a registered Google business profile, which the name matches, because they're trying to
Ah,
shut down
I
fraud and
verified
so on.
mine today, actually,
Yeah.
for something I was doing.
So you do need to verify, because it is a ranking factor, it's a search factor. And then what other people don't realize is that you've got to post to that as well. So you can post to Google, and when you post to your Google business profile, that is also something that they look at as well.
Well, I've learned
So.
something this afternoon, because I don't post anything to Google, so
Yeah,
maybe that's something I can dip the toe in the water on
yeah.
as
So, for me, from a base point of view, is if you've got a Google business profile, and let's say you're utilizing LinkedIn like you do, whatever you're posting to LinkedIn, post to your Google business profile. But you are limited on the number of words. But that's just to keep that to show that Google that you're live and you're
Yeah,
there.
absolutely.
So.
Okay, so I mean, there's lots of different technologies, strategies, channels, distribution channels, marketing. How crucial is the adoption of technology then for SMEs, you know, when it comes to manufacturing and supply chain? I mean, there's technology.
Huge.
We've already mentioned AI. I mean, I suppose that's probably one of the biggest ones. Is that a do or die type of thing, do you think? You know, either a adopt technology or, you know, get involved in AI or just get left
Yeah,
behind?
if you personal opinion, absolutely.
Right.
If it is a do or die thing. I
Okay.
did a talk with Gary Kingsbury, IBM, this time last year, probably, I think it was. Talking about AI, because we've been using AI for a few years now. And with AI, most people are looking at it from a marketing perspective and doing content and things like that, but it's not. It is so much more, for workflow, for productivity, for improving processes. So AI, without a doubt, is businesses, not just manufacturers, businesses need to be looking at, and it's about stripping back and really starting again and looking at it and saying, how does AI fit into the business? Where can it fit in? So we're looking at it from a viewpoint with Factory IQ, which comes onto the operations management and supply chain management. So Factory IQ, we have our Edge Essentials unit, which is the real-time monitoring, machine monitoring, but and energy monitoring. But we're looking at the AI integrated in with that to do some of the analysis, and calculation, and also then action. So you could have a scenario of, as an example, is your it's monitoring the cycle of a machine, and it may notice that something is not right, so the AI can go in and potentially, moving forward, and turn dials to slow things down, but to keep the machine running, whilst alerting you that something is wrong.
Yeah.
So there's loads of different things that can happen. People have probably already got that going already.
Yeah, I mean, lights out manufacturing. I just sort of come into my mind there. I mean, I because I've often wondered, you know, you set up your production cells. You know, if you're running lights out, you know, there's nobody there at the plant on a night time, whether it's turn parts or whatever it is you're doing. I often thought, well, what does happen if something does go wrong? If a tool breaks or, you know, something gets jammed somewhere, or there's, I don't know, some glitch in some software somewhere. I guess that you've got remote access to these things, but is this a scenario that you're referring to with AI? It's sort of like an instant, wow, there's a little issue there, and then it alerts you whilst trying to stop a major mishap. Is that the sort
Yeah,
of
oh
thing?
yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So the integration into maintenance. We're having this discussion on a thread on LinkedIn with Ruth Forster,
Oh yeah.
who
Yep. Great stuff.
and we were talking about maintenance and will the need for maintenance will the will there be a need for maintenance engineers to understand sort of like AI and the coding within AI? And people were
Yeah.
saying no, and I was saying yes, absolutely. Base fundamental, they will need to know how to bring a piece of kit in, that kit comes into the AI ecosystem within a business, and how do you integrate that into that AI ecosystem?
Yeah.
So there will be, may not be a real expert in coding, but they will need some form of understanding around coding and what to do with the AI side. So
Yeah.
AI is going to be a very big one. What's coming down the pipe is nothing to what we are seeing now.
And this all comes back to
It's just
skills
a
again, doesn't it? And getting more youngsters
obviously,
into engineering and manufacturing. It's
I
not
think,
just
yeah, absolutely.
the practical machining side and the fabulous manufacturing processes that we've got, but it's the data analytics, it's the coding, it's the ability to make sense of the data. So I really hope that they're teaching enough kids at school some of the basics, and then as we're going through the colleges, because as you say, that technology, and now we're into this world of AI, what's current today is probably going to be defunct or ancient, within sort of 6 to 12 months' time. So, and I've heard this said before quite a lot over the last couple of years, that the jobs that a lot of the primary school kids and people actually in senior school at the moment will be doing probably haven't been invented yet, or some of them won't have been invented yet. So it's like, I can't get my head around it sometimes. It's just
Yeah,
moving so
the thing for
fast.
me is what we probably are taught from a university point of view is probably by the time we come to implement is probably outdated,
Yeah.
because it's moving at a rate of knots. I think the thing that we need to take on board with people from university and college and apprenticeships and things like that is that ability to learn, that they've learned how to learn and are really interested in developing and moving forward, which the younger generation do seem to be. I have to say, because I'm delivering a talk on AI to Loughborough Technical College in the coming weeks, and they are they want, what I've seen is majority of the younger generation want to soak up everything, and we've got to be in a position to leverage and maximize that skill set.
Yeah,
We've also got to
absolutely.
attract it into manufacturing engineering, because I'd read recently that the finance sector are actually picking up engineers and bringing them into their arena because they know the problem solving
Yes.
side
Well, that makes
and
sense, but
analytical
yeah.
side, which makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. So getting back to SME manufacturers specifically then, how can they measure their growth effectively? I mean, there's lots of KPIs and measurables for shop floor performance, for machine efficiency, OEE, and all these wonderful things. But in terms of actually growing the business, what do you see as the most important sort of factors to measure, Adam?
Oh, I think there's a number there. Sales growth rate, customer acquisition cost. You could have customer lifetime value, conversion rates. There's all manner. I think it's about picking the right ones that you are looking to drive. And the key with any KPI, for me, regardless of whether it's operational, sales, strategic, anything, is KPIs drive behavior. And
Yes.
that behavior can be both positive and negative. So ensuring you've got the right KPI as well. You mentioned OEE. Some people don't realize, well, it's not common at all that there are three elements. We have overall spoke about supply chain. We have overall supply chain effectiveness, which is overall logistics effectiveness,
Yeah.
overall purchasing effectiveness, and OEE times together.
Yeah.
And that gives us our overall supply chain effectiveness. And not many businesses measure that. I've probably come across one that's where we've done it, where we've got all the three areas. Because you can't, from an operational efficiency point of view, operations management point of view, you can't have operational excellence without having operational excellence in logistics.
Yeah.
The two go
Yeah.
hand in hand, and then you've got
Yeah.
purchasing as well.
So for the
Specific KPIs, you've got the top level ones, the norms, which you could look at and have a implement. But as they cascade down, they need to become more tactical
Yeah.
in driving what it is the actions you're looking to do, and the leading and lagging KPIs within that as well.
Yeah. And it will be different for each individual business, won't it? They'll have their own set of circumstances and challenges and structure and equipment and processes. So I suppose, everything's got to be bespoke for each company. And I guess this is what you would advise or help to sort of work with your customers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It all based on the strategic side of where they're looking. So the strategy program that we deliver in is would be based on the projects they're doing, how they're actually going to measure those projects, what are the KPIs that are going to deliver,
Yeah.
and not get hung up on the KPI. The KPI is just monitoring the outcome of the project. It's the project that's the key critical thing. So if the
Yeah.
KPI is off, what have we got to do within the project to deliver that KPI?
Okay.
The one thing I didn't mention on the technology side is which is where, and this is not a plug for FactoryIQ because there are a number of us out there, is
Do
the one thing that I found without through my career being in that operations engineering side, the operations management side can be an Achilles heel. So we
Right.
have our MRP ERP systems, which are brilliant. And fantastic what they do. But when it comes down to actually that operations management within the shop floor, which is the king, the shop floor, and making that product, because we don't get revenue if the product isn't going out the door, really lack. And that's where some of the technological side needs to come in, which is like the factory IQs and the other MESs. So being
Yeah.
able to advance production planning, looking at digitalization within standard work, standard ops, and looking at real-time data and stuff like that, that's another key one for me within manufacturing as well. And the reason I've circled back around to that is because that was the pain of my life of that.
Yeah.
And what I would say on that is bringing excuse me, suppliers into that as well. So don't just look at it from your own little sort of like ivory tower, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Just actually bringing in the suppliers and your customers into
It's an
that picture as
end-to-end
well.
view of the, and monitor of monitoring of the whole
That
supply
value
chain, isn't
chain,
it?
that whole
Yeah.
value chain.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, just wanted to move on for a second to a topic that I know you're very keen on. I never used to be that keen on it, but given that I've been in recruitment for 25 years, I've had to get used to it and adore it and beginning to love it. Networking. How important is networking amongst manufacturers? Now, I know there's a lot of trade shows around, and a lot of the manufacturers and engineers will go and they'll see their customers and suppliers, and they'll meet up with some of their mates from the industry and colleagues, ex-colleagues, and all the rest of it. But networking can be part of an actual strategy, can't it, for for business growth. So how would you for any of the audience that are listening in or watching this that are at an earlier stage of their career, whether it's in sales, marketing, or maybe applications engineering, could be anything, customer support or actually leadership. How important is networking in the manufacturing space today?
Critical, I think it is for any business. We talked about advanced engineering. So we were part of the, as you know, part of the Connex. We were on the collaboration stand with Connex.
Yes.
I won't discuss that much around Connex, but us and our approach to that is that it's, although we're showing and we're wanting people to come up to us, it's almost as equally as important to us to be talking to the other people in the Connex community that are exhibiting with us, equally as important as well. And again, we had customers coming over to us that were exhibiting, and were actually coming over to us on a regular basis so we could have chats, and we were discussing politics and everything that was cracking off, because it just so coincided it was the budget, so there was a lot of moaning and that side from that. So the networking is I'm a big believer in collaboration. Most of my businesses are done in collaboration and working. So New Way Growth, the way that works is I bring people in that work within the team of New Way Growth, but they have their own business.
Yes.
And we help to grow that business, then, you know, potentially move them on, and then I'll bring somebody else in. So we're constantly sort of like building and moving on and growth and supporting others. Connex is the same. You know, I'm sure there are other organizations and federations out there that are exactly the same. So collaboration networking is critical. I mean, it's the old cliche, isn't it? It's not what you know, it's who you know. At the end of the day. And I always look at this around the unfair advantage. What gives me the unfair advantage in location, people that I know, education or anything like that, and networking is one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so in terms of the future then, what does we've just had the budget. Don't really want to get into all of that today, because we'd probably need 20 podcasts to have enough time to sort that out. In terms of the future for SME manufacturing then in the UK, what does the future look like for you, in your opinion? And what sort of steps should SME manufacturers be taking to sort of prepare themselves for the future? Because it's been loads of shocks, hasn't there? COVID, you know, supply chain disruption, Brexit, you name it, you know, wars and all sorts of, it's just a constant, isn't it? But what should SMEs be doing now to sort of safeguard themselves for survival?
That's a big question. There's no two ways about it. There are opportunities there. We've got the industrial strategy that's coming out. I've been a big, passionate believer, of this alignment of all of us, and manufacturing, and including this, all the federations, you know, Make UK, Make the Midlands, you know, Connex, and all of us in this is actually being aligned on what it is we want, because being split on direction, we're divided. If we were actually all aligned around what we wanted, we are so much more powerful in that arena. Now, the opportunities that I can see, in particular with the industrial strategy, is this comment around that they want to disseminate this down into the local authorities. Now, for me, that strategic element does need to disseminate down. Therefore, SMEs and businesses need to align and understand and get together with their local authorities, which comes back to that networking and collaboration side. The opportunity, again, depends on where you're looking and what you're looking to do, from strategic, whether it's strategic growth or operational efficiency. Both go hand in hand for me, because you need to have that operational efficiency and that drive, that continuous improvement drive, if you're looking to grow anyway, because the last thing you want to be doing is creaking. Because your processes aren't right, so there's a dual sort of like side for that. From a personal perspective on New Way Growth, it's just a matter of keep building, keep innovating for us, and most importantly, keep supporting the businesses, whether that's through strategic thinking, strategic programs, marketing, sales, or operational efficiencies, and we'll just continue to do that and plug away at it. purely because it's that each one of the businesses is built on the why that I have, which is the success of our communities will come from the businesses that thrive within it.
Yeah.
So the more businesses I can help shift through that high growth, high value gateway, the better both socially and economically will be. And that's
Yeah.
why I do what I do.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I've been following you for a number of years on LinkedIn, Adam, and catch quite a lot of your videos. Some of them are, nice little bite size pieces. You've got some other stuff on your one of your YouTube channels. You're doing a fantastic job. I know you work collaboratively because I know you're doing a lot with Connex and supporting Andrea Wilson, and you've got the Factory IQ thing going. Yeah, it's been great to follow you, and I've taken some learns just from watching some of your videos in the past. So it's been great to get to know you a little bit more. But thank you for coming on today. That sort of kind of wraps up our
Yeah,
discussion.
no problem. I enjoyed
But
it.
if anybody wants to reach out to you, do you just want to let us know what the website is for New Way Growth?
Yeah, it's www.newwaygrowth.com. And by all means, if you just put Adam Payne in LinkedIn, connect me. Although it's got follow, do connect
Yeah.
from that side because that's just part of that creator mode that's on there.
Fantastic.
But do connect. But thank
Brilliant.
you very much. Thank you for having me. Good conversation. And I know
Yeah,
what I
I've
will
enjoyed
finish
it.
on is do back Andrea Wilson. And got that from that Minister of Manufacturing. We will be doing a big campaign on that moving forward. So
Yeah,
getting some stuff
look
to go.
forward to following that. Okay, well, that wraps up another episode. Thank you, Adam Payne. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you on the next episode of Insights Manufacturing. So take care for now, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.